You are listening to This Podcast Could Have Been an Email, presented by Berkshire Community College.
And welcome everyone to This Podcast Could Have Been an Email. We have gotten to a number of episodes that may be higher than Jonah and I can count.
I don't trust that I know what the number is. So
when we go to the grocery store, I always tell my family that if the list goes above four items, we have to write it down because I cannot be held responsible for remembering.
That's fair. We're way above four.
We're way above four.
Yeah, I know that. So I had to do a lot of prep work for our forthcoming conference that we're doing. We're presenting at the Teaching, Learning, and Student Development Conference. I mentioned this in the last episode, which I'm not sure which episode is going to air first because I'm a little bit behind in editing, where I had to do some background. And I know I looked through more than four clip reels. So we're above four.
So this is our last episode that we're doing in this recording studio before we do it live in front of a live studio audience, which is very exciting. But this is a pretty cool show that we have today. We have two of our academic divisional deans with us. Mm-hmm. I think a real opportunity to dive into what it means to be a leader at a community college and specifically on the academic side. So very happy to introduce our listeners to Matthew Kenny, who is the Dean of Science and Business, and to Lori Moon, who is the Dean of Nursing, Health, and Wellness. Matthew, welcome.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. And Lori, welcome.
Thank you.
So Matthew, maybe just start out. You are newer to the college, so there is a chance that there are listeners who don't know you. It seems very unlikely. I think that the 13 or 14 people who listen to this podcast probably know who you are already. Yeah. But just in case not, who are you? Where are you from? And how long have you been with the college?
Sure. Well, thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
I started July 1st in 2025. So I'm coming up on a year.
Wow.
And I refer to myself as a retired anatomy professor. I retired from a 25-year teaching career and then had this amazing opportunity to do so much more with BCC, who I worked actively with through the ATD network on some equity issues.
I think I'm going to take a leap of faith here and say that I sent Matthew the job
description.
I didn't know if it was appropriate to share, but yes, Adam did send me the job description in a text that made me joyful.
We had worked together really closely through our ATD work and got to know each other pretty well. And I had nothing to do with the search process, but was very excited when Matthew was selected.
Yeah.
And Lori's is BCC royalty, but maybe for my Minnesota friends. Lori, who are you?
Hi. Thanks for having me as well. I'm Lori Moon. I'm the Dean of Nursing, Health, and Wellness. I am entering upon my 10th year. The end of this summer, it'll be a 10-year stay here. I came on campus and met with Ellen Kennedy, much to my denial that I was going to accept a job here in 2016. And I meant to say no and said yes. And then I said, yes, I would stay for 1 year as a faculty member here. And here I am 10 years later.
What got you? I don't know this story. What got you to come to campus to talk to Ellen?
So at the time, there were some LPN openings and a lot of students accepted and not a lot of faculty. And I was working in the education department at Berkshire Health Systems. And my boss at the time asked me if I would consider teaching up at BCC. And of course, I said, I don't have the qualifications. I don't know. I can't do that. And she asked me to come and meet with Ellen, and I did. And Ellen has a very unique way of talking you into things that you didn't know you were going to say yes to. And it was really hard to say no because she had so much passion for this college that I was kind of drawn in immediately. And ever since I've been here, I have continued to just feel very passionate about it.
I mean, sometimes you walk out of those conversations having agreed to something and you're like, wait a second. When did I make the decision to say yes? I don't remember ever having that thought. Well, that's great, Lori. I think the question that we wanted to start with for both of you is, and again, Lori's got 10 years, Matthew, you've only been here for a while, but can you share any moments that you've had with your peers or students that have left a lasting impression on you? Maybe we'll start this time with Lori.
Sure. I think I'm always surprised and honored to work with our students, some who have come through lots of trials and long roads to get to BCC and have persevered no matter what. We have a lot of non-traditional students who come through our nursing, health, and wellness programs. And just to watch them go through circumstances in life, whether it's illness or death or all kinds of circumstances, and they just continue to go on and attain their goal, it's really inspirational and it's really fun to watch that process and to see them succeed.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's been surprising because I've had a chance to do a lot of really amazing observations of faculty. And I often walk away questioning, like, wow, I could have done that better. You know, like in my previous career, having watched how amazing the faculty have been.
I'm glad that you followed up, because at first it kind of sounded like, wow, if I had been teaching this class would have gone so much better.
Wow.
I corrected myself.
You did well. Yeah, you did very well.
Thank you very much. But yeah, I've been amazed at the collaborative kind of classroom styles, the flipped classrooms, the creative opportunities that are enhancing the student experience. And if I could do it over 25 years ago, I would have incorporated some new techniques in. You know, it's been fun.
Yeah.
I was going to say, from your perspectives now, I mean, you both started out in teaching and you went into the academic dean side, which is the administration side, obviously. But I guess as well, you also are both overseeing areas that have had a lot of change in faculty. And so if you could speak to like what that's been like to work with new faculty in both areas and how that's been for either one of you.
All right. We have a lot of, in the last 10 years, have had a lot of change in our faculty in the nursing health and division, health and wellness division. I can say that it makes me look really good to hire the nurses that we hire, and it has nothing to do with me. They're drawn to education, but they make us look really good at BCC. They're dedicated, they're student-centered, they're passionate about nursing. They've left the bedside, mostly still working in the summers at the bedside, but have left the bedside to train the next generation, and it's really inspirational to work with all of them.
Yeah, and I think for my experiences with some of the new faculty, all are really new to me, but those new to teaching or newer to teaching, that kind of filled with hope and promise, enthusiasm, that the ability to just kind of inspire those around them has been, you know, an amazing opportunity to watch and learn from.
Maybe just to flip that question, both of you having been faculty members and know what it means to kind of grow up and become a veteran faculty member, and then move into administration. How much have you relied on kind of senior faculty members to help you make the transition into administration?
Mm. I could speak for me. I think that's been helpful to kind of hear legacy and history of the kind of personality of the institution. I relied heavily in this transition on my fellow deans because, you know, the process of leading has really become a process of listening for me, and kind of relying on how I wanted to be led in my previous career, and having a chance to do that, but also have, you know, the ability to really be quiet and listen to what faculty are needing and what students are needing has been profound for me and rewarding.
Yeah, I think we're really lucky to be part of a community college system. And I've really relied heavily on my co-deans and directors of nursing across the state. That's been really helpful because we're so highly regulated, and especially in nursing, but also in PTA and RT, that's been really wonderful to have that collaboration and to have those regular meetings and just to be able to text one of them and say, hey, how did you handle this regulation or accreditation requirement? And that's been really, really helpful.
That's great. So really appreciate that first segment. We're going to move into our first break and we'll be right back after this.
Remember where it all started. Reconnect, reminisce, and celebrate at the BCC Alumni Reunion at Balderdash in Richmond on Saturday, June 6th at 2 p.m. Join fellow graduates, friends, and faculty for a special gathering filled with memories, laughter, and Falcon pride. Whether you graduated last year or decades ago, you belong here. Register today at berkshirecc.edu/alumni to be part of the celebration. And while you're on the alumni page, check out our other upcoming alumni events, like a Dine to Donate event on May 21st at Frankie's. Check it out, and we'll see you there.
And we're back to this podcast. Could have been an email with Matthew Kenny and Lori Moon for our second segment. You know, I think one of the things I was thinking about quite a bit, Lori is very keenly aware of this. When the question is asked, what keeps you up at night at work? In my role as the enrollment guy here, the thing that always hits me right between the eyes is pre-nursing students. The pre-nursing program is our largest program on campus.
Yep.
Many of those students matriculate into the nursing program, and they're these wonderful stories. But a good number of the students do not. And what we found through data analysis is about 80% of the students who don't matriculate into nursing end up not staying at BCC and not going anywhere else. So the other 20% switching programs within the college, transferring to another institution, and that's a pretty good outcome. The 80% that leave and don't kind of continue in higher education seems like a real problem. And Lurie is also very concerned about this. But really, most of those students are taking classes in your division and Matt Mueller's division. And I'm curious. I think that the real connections between what happens with a student when they come in and then become a nurse feels very natural between the two of you and your leadership. I think just really curious. I'm not trying to put the two of you on the spot here on this, but you know, how do you work together to make sure that what's going on in kind of foundational science courses is leading students to be successful into nursing? And then for those who kind of discover maybe nursing isn't the right pathway for me, what are our opportunities to keep those students on a path to better their lives and find meaning in work and other service?
I guess I'll start. But when it comes to being ready for college as a student today, I think the life challenges are very different from when I was in college, that the responsibilities are different. The financial aid opportunities were different. The chance to fail was different, right? That I had more opportunities to get it right the second and third time. But our educational system has changed over time. And I think for students to really understand the opportunities for learning how to learn is something that I think we actively work on and is becoming more of a primary focus. The brain has an infinite capacity to learn, but how you put that information
in... Well, some brains. Yeah. I mean, present company.
Oh, really? You know, but from a biological perspective, Adam.
I mean, you haven't studied my brain, not the...
I do believe that there is, you know, so many opportunities to teach the new learner how to learn in a new environment, and that the small wins can become really big successes. And I think we can actively work more on celebrating the small wins and what does that look like for a student today. Keeping that in the back of our minds as we move forward, I think, has been important.
And I think Matthew and I work very closely together. He's a delight to work with, first of all. But we do share a lot of students. And our faculty has met. A couple summers ago, they met and got together and kind of went through the biology and the anatomy, physiology, and the microbiology of, you know, what does a nursing student really need? And they worked together really nicely to kind of map that out with nursing faculty, which was a great way for us to kind of be on the same page. But I also think that sometimes students just have difficulties in their lives, and sometimes they have a hard time persevering. And I think we can be their cheerleaders and their coaches and try our best to meet with those students, especially the pre-nursing students, and see if there's something in their life that we can help. There's a lot of students who won't ask for help. They won't ask for assistance. There's, you know, some pride in that. But the more we can make that more of a normal for our students to say, hey, if you're struggling, let us know ahead of time. If there's something going on in your life, let us know ahead of time. We want to work with you. We want you to succeed. And I think the more we get that message out, maybe we'll start to see that curve change a little bit.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point. And you know, one of the things, Lurie, that will never forget about working with you is when we went into COVID, and we would meet, and Jonah was there too, actually. Mm-hmm. We would meet every morning, I think, at 8 a.m., 8:30, and we would have a conversation about, like, what are we going to do next? So just so our listeners know, someone just walked into the studio and we had to cut and restart. So we're going to find out a little bit about Schwa's editing skills.
Exactly.
Also, that has never happened before. So congratulations to the two of you.
Brand new. Thank you.
That was really fun.
On our toes.
Yeah. And as we present, we've got a little more content for our presentation.
We all just kind of froze and you're like, let's cut. And I was like, why? What did you do? Did you say something? Was I not listening? Did you drop an F-bomb finally? Did I miss it?
You couldn't see.
I had no idea what's happening.
And anyway, what I had started to say is one of the things that I'll never forget about working with Lurie very specifically is we had this committee going into COVID. It was called COOP, I think. Mm-hmm. And it was the continuity of operations. Yeah. And we would come into this room every morning and people think things had always gotten worse. We didn't get to a place where things got better for like a year and a half. But
yeah,
things have been getting worse. And every morning, people would be getting really nervous. And at some point, Lori would get the floor and she would say, look,
yep,
I lived through the AIDS epidemic. Nurses show up, we sit and we hold patients' hands and we get them through the next thing. And the temperature in the room
yeah.
would just drop because of your leadership. And so as I was listening to you talk about your kind of personal philosophy to help a student through, I remembered that kind of version of you. And I guess maybe my question to both of you is, as leaders who have a lot of experience in higher education, how do we as practitioners learn the skill set of being able to kind of center ourselves and not get too hot when everyone seems to be moving in that direction, but also when there are moments of urgency that we kind of step yeah. up and make sure that other people follow us?
I think the moment of keeping the perspective on what the goal is yeah. has been, you know, super helpful in stressful times. And also learning to be quiet in stressful times and to not be reactionary, but a listener and thoughtful has been, you know, kind of impactful in all facets of education. You know, whether you're a student, you know, being frustrated by your professor, or a professor, you know, kind of being overwhelmed by, you know, mass enrollment. You know, things all have their moment, but they all have solutions. And, you know, kind of reflecting on them help to yeah, that perspective.
That triggers me to really think about, you know, when things get most stressful, I get more quiet.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of my inner reflection. So when I'm really quiet, usually it's because I'm really concerned or really thinking about something. And that can be taken probably different ways by people. But I think, yes, that quiet reflection. And certainly during COVID, we had to just like stick with the facts, stick with what we knew, because we knew we didn't know so much, that we had to make sure we kept the panic down and that we, you know, we kept things as calm as we could. And that's what we try to do with students as well. You know, things go wrong sometimes. And I think we have to just keep remembering that they're students. And if they make a mistake, it's okay. And we tell them that it's okay to make a mistake. You know, we want you to learn from this process. And if you learn from it, great. That's all we can ask for you in this kind of atmosphere.
I really like that. I liked what Matthew had said earlier about how when you were coming up as a student, there was easier to fail. One of the things that I talk to young student affairs professionals about a lot is that when students are engaging with us co-curricularly, it's like being in a chemistry lab. We should be creating conditions where students can try things and fail and that it be safe. So we're going to take our second break. I think one thing I'd really love for us to talk about moving forward, Lori, maybe specifically because you're at the end of your career here with us, and I will tease that you're going to be our commencement speaker. I'm very curious about what you think about the state of higher education, specifically community colleges, as we move forward. So we'll take another break and we'll be back right after this.
Join us as we celebrate a remarkable legacy. Berkshire Community College invites you, every single person listening to this podcast, to a special community celebration honoring President Ellen Kennedy, Thursday, June 4th from 4 to 6 p.m. on campus in the Robert Bolin Theater. After more than a decade of leadership, innovation, and impact, we're coming together to say thank you and to celebrate the future. Enjoy remarks, reconnect with the community, and be part of this meaningful moment. This event is free and open to all. Learn more and RSVP at berkshirecc.edu/retirement.
And we're back. During the break, we were having a conversation. You know, Jonah and I are a little further away from retirement. Jonah's yep. a little further away than I am. And we're surrounded by mentors who are terrible at retiring. And
I just saw Liz Reckel Morrison this morning. She was walking by and she's like, oh, Jonah, you're still here. And I was like, yeah, I'm still here. She's like, oh, I retired. I was like, that's my goal, 21 years. She's like, it's the best thing ever. And I was like, I know, it's all I want in my life, but 21 years to go. So, you know, I'll be here.
But so we kind of left the last segment teasing a question, you know, start with Lori, who is going to retire at some point if we actually let her. And Lori, maybe just share some reflections on where you are without spoiling your commencement speech.
So, yes, I am going to be the commencement speaker, which gives me huge anxiety, and I'll talk about that a little bit on that day. But I think my goal is to really talk about my kind of road traveled, and it started here at BCC.
Yep.
As a first-gen college student without a whole lot of support and direction and really no self-esteem or self-worth or, you know, a lot of negative voices talking in my head. So I plan to kind of let that be my the kind of goal of my speech, and then how to fight that and how to beat that and how to get away from that negative self-talk. So I'm excited. I'm almost done with it. I keep going back and tweaking it over and over and over again. And like I said, I'm just praying that it reaches somebody and means something to somebody in the crowd. There's a huge crowd there. Hopefully one person will get
one of our largest graduating classes in my entire time at this college.
We have 85 more people who are graduating this year than we had last year, and almost double from the year before. It's really...
That doesn't help the anxiety.
Yeah. If you want to,
we've also invited all the alumni. I mean, we're expecting like a Yo-Yo Ma kind of crowd at Englewood.
Yeah.
It's an incredibly well-deserved honor, and I'm very excited to hear what you have to say. And I think many, many people are. And I mean, it's 6 people or 30,000. What difference does it make?
Just right.
Read the words.
On RuPaul's Drag Race, they have a term for that called the inner saboteur. So if you drop that in somewhere, I'm sure some of the folks in the audience will be like, "Oh yeah. Lori Moon, she knows RuPaul's Drag Race." All right, I like that.
So. Lori's gonna do right, great. So, Matthew, I'm kind of going back to this idea about the future of higher ed, and as you decided to come out of retirement, you've got maybe you have a lot of time left. Maybe you kind of feel like this is the last stage of your career. Where do you think people in your generation are leaving us to help the next generation?
In terms of the future of higher ed, you're talking about?
Yeah, maybe specifically community colleges, because that's the space that I think.
And that's been my wheelhouse. So right. I don't think they've ever been more vital. You know, the opportunity to be part of a community that serves its community and understands its community in a way that larger four-year institutions don't have as their mission. You know, the idea of creating pathways for people who, for whatever reason, might have been marginalized from education is an awesome responsibility. And I think it feels a little bit under attack. And I think that the passion of the kind of the BCC community pushing back on that attack to really create the right space is one of the most important things that a community can do to keep it healthy and vibrant and thriving. The idea of making sure that nobody's marginalized from a future, that is the best possibility, is important to never lose sight of. And I appreciate, Laura, you saying your origin story. And I'm also a first generation college student who didn't have opportunity from a very small community and didn't fit into that community. But I actually found a community college in another community where I did fit. That started my educational journey and built confidence and built the ability to see a future, which is what every person in society deserves.
Yeah, I think one of the things that has become crystallized in my mind, and I've had mentors and friends and colleagues who talked about this, Lisa Foss, who now works at Arizona State, and actually Christina Nguyen is one of the people who really came to this language through marketing as well. But I think one of the great things about the work we do is that we count our successes by the students that we serve that we have, not the ones that we turn away. And within the way that U.S. News and World Reports ranks colleges and the way that the most prestigious universities in the country talk about themselves, it is this real pride in not letting very many students in and then being hyper successful with the ones that they have. And, you know, I guess I would argue that it's a lot easier to be successful if all the students you let in are ranked first in their class and have 1,500 SAT scores where kind of your brain development and capacity of the brain analogy is we're taking students who maybe are imperfect and it's going to take some grit, and we need to create environments and conditions to help put them on the pathway to be successful. And I think that's what we do. So tell me about making jewelry.
Oh, we're going there. Okay.
So,
yeah, later in life, I discovered that I had a passion. I always had a passion for the arts. You know, when I was an anatomy professor, my office was in the arts building. It was that important to me.
Wow.
To be surrounded by art. And I've done a lot of things over the years. I've thrown pottery, I've drawn, I've painted. But when I discovered working with metal, it kind of brought it all together. And so I like a little bit of the element of anything could go wrong at any point. But when it doesn't, what you end up with is usually something beautiful and that you're proud of. So
kind of the story of this podcast.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, that's a week my own change to the description. Yeah. We use those words exactly for this podcast.
Just give me a little quote. Okay,
at the bottom. Yeah. Matthew Kemi. Yeah. Formerly retired. Yeah.
Lori, what any plans for retirement? Are you going to stay retired?
I'm probably not going to stay retired. I'm going to look for something part-time for sure. I'm going to stick around as long as BCC will have me and help with the accreditation visit that we have coming up in the fall of 27. I'm going to love my grandchildren. I have a fourth one on the way due in November, so I'm very excited about that.
Congratulations.
And find some hobbies. It won't be anything artistic because it's not my wheelhouse, but maybe return to the bedside. I'm not really sure.
Just this morning, I actually trained three people in the registrar's office on how to edit the catalog. And I said, y'all, Lori got less of a training than this, and she is the most proficient catalog editor that we have on campus, short of Lara. So if you're looking for a part-time work, we always need someone to go in and
there we go.
Catalog. So
I think I just had a job offer.
You did. Yeah. I don't think it pays anything, though. So, I mean,
to our listeners, Lori Moon is ready to work. Any job that you may have, please feel free to reach out to her. I think we could use some A&P tutoring. I think it's really exciting, and I'm glad that you're going to stay around the community, and I'm glad that you get to take this next step and get to spend as much time with your grand. I know how much that means to you, and the smile it puts on your face whenever you talk about them. So I think we're going to take another break, and we will come back after this. And explain to Lori why we know more about medicine than she does because we watch The Pit.
Oh, okay. You're listening to this podcast. Could have been an email from Berkshire Community College.
There are so many end-of-year activities coming up. May is filled with celebrations and ceremonies, which culminates with the 66th commencement exercises at Tanglewood on Friday, May 29th. Don't miss the ADN pinning ceremony in the Bolin Theater at 6 p.m. on Thursday, May 21st, which every year ends up being a packed house full of excitement and pride for our nursing students. There's also the graduates of the Global Majority Luncheon Ceremony on Tuesday, May 26th at 12:30 p.m. in the Kutsevitsky Lobby, or the Honors Program Celebration in M301 on Thursday, May 28th at 2 p.m. Check out all of the end-of-year activities and all the fun and festivities at berkshirecc.edu/commencement and come out and support your community.
And welcome back to our final segment. I think we need to spend a little bit of time on the Tron microscope. I feel like maybe I have not centered that enough in our conversation. So please, Matthew.
I'll be brief, but for those who don't know, having an electron microscope is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very big deal. And BCC has just had its delivered. It's going to be installed and we're all going to be trained soon on it. But what's brilliant about it is it spans everything from our mechatronics program all the way to microbiology, and is going to enhance the hands-on technical learning for our students
mm-hmm.
in a way that is profound. You know, a regular light microscope, which every college student usually has access to, only magnifies 1,500 times. This magnifies 350,000 times.
Wow.
Some of them go up to 2 million times. Ours does not. But
can Luddites like me come and get a demonstration?
100% chance that that's going to happen.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to
it. In a bubble, so you don't break anything.
Yeah. wrapped in bubble wrap, in fact, yeah.
Under supervision.
Right. Yeah. Good. I'm curious for both of you. So far, Matthew, you've been here for less than a year, but I think you know the area pretty well. What are your favorite things about BCC or the Berkshires?
My drive-in is stunning,
yeah,
stunningly beautiful. I come from Columbia County, so I get the joy of driving to the Berkshires and seeing it every day. And and I love the people of the Berkshires. I love the faculty and the staff and the administration here,
especially our 12 listeners.
All 12. I love every one of them. Every one of them. It's my favorite thing.
Yeah, I love the Berkshires as well. I've been here since I turned 16. I moved here, and I think our campus especially is quite beautiful.
Yeah.
On days like this, you see students outside, and there are big groups of students studying.
Yeah.
But our sunrises and our sunsets here in the Berkshires are just, unless you've experienced that, you can't even pretend to know what that's like, and it's just gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I just love the Berkshires and all the mountains and the scenery and everything that we get to enjoy and take it for granted on a regular basis.
How do you feel about rainbows?
I love rainbows.
Do you?
Oh, I love rainbows.
Both of you love rainbows.
Oh, who doesn't love rainbows?
Who doesn't love rainbows?
Take a picture of every rainbow that I see.
So six, I think.
Linda Claremont does not. Yeah. If it is.
We recorded it. But it's not like rainbows.
No, not at all.
Love.
Very anti. Me too. I love rainbows. So we often close out asking people what's something that you're currently reading or watching or a hobby that you have recently gotten into.
Well, I'm definitely a Pitt addict. I have, enamored of the Pitt.
So. Did you finish both seasons?
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Yeah, just finished the other night.
I just started season two last night.
Oh, you just started season two? Oh, man.
I had to cover my eyes for the last episode for the vast majority.
My husband has to bury his head for most of the show. Yeah.
Well, I have missed out on the Pitt, but I'm going to have to go and watch that because all I've heard about around here today, especially today, is the Pitt. I have not watched that, but I plan to, and I'll add it to my list of things to watch.
Yeah. Do you have something you have been into?
I don't really do a lot of TV. I'm really interested in doing some gardening this summer. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to learn from Matthew because I know he's got like great, exquisite gardens. But that's something I really want to get into and do more of. I plan to plant some sunflowers, which are my favorite flower in the entire world, and I'm hoping that they'll grow. I have planted them before and they haven't grown, but we're going to try it again this year.
My husband keeps accidentally growing sunflowers everywhere and they won't stop. They're taking over everything and we stopped planting them. They're just, the birds are spreading everywhere.
Sounds like Colin's coming over to your house.
Oh, yeah.
But also, a hidden gem of people who garden brilliantly well and doesn't talk about it much is Natalia Eddy, who is the assistant for Jim Mancall. Absolutely brilliant. She just gave me some hydrangeas, some Rose of Sharon to put in. She's amazing at it. So
I will contact her.
Yeah, very knowledgeable. So that's it. That's all I have.
How about you?
Oh, what am I doing right now?
Yeah.
I'm on book five. Maybe it was chapter 14 of the
Stormlight Archive.
Yeah, Stormlight Archive, The Rhythm of Wind, Winds of Truth, or I don't know what it's called. Yeah. I don't know the names of the titles. It's 10 days of activity. It's wild. The whole book is 10 days.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's very good. And I think it's the last of this part, and I'm probably going to stop because I need to listen or read something else in my life. And I have not been for over longer than this podcast has been going on. So
I'm in book four, and I'm about the same, maybe 15 chapters into book four.
And I've 4,500 to go, right? Yeah.
Yeah, 4,500, 4 or 5 pages, chapters. Yeah. That's never ending. I'm still loving the ride. And I know you told me that it gets to be a bit of a slog. Yeah. So really enjoying that. It's also in the NBA playoffs, which is one of my favorite things.
Yeah,
And
how did I forget about the NBA playoffs?
I mean, how would you, Jonah?
Oh my God, it's my favorite.
I have a Western Conference team in Minnesota, and I cheer for the Celtics. But the Timberwolves game started at 10:30 last night, and I recorded it and got up this morning.
I remember watching the Cavaliers versus the Blue Jays a couple nights ago. I was like, God, these Canadian teams are great. So.
The Cavaliers versus the Blue Jays. So we've got something to teach Jonah. It was so nice to have you. Matthew and Lori on the podcast. We really appreciate it. And for our listeners, the weather has gotten just absolutely beautiful.
Yes,
I know for those of us who work here, April into May is in maybe the most intense time of the entire year. So thank you for all the work that you do to support students and to support people as they finish up. And then we'll move into the summer and start welcoming new people. So it's a really exciting time to be here at Berkshire Community College. And thank you, as always, for listening. And our next episode will be in front of a live
studio audience. You've been listening to this podcast. Could have been an email from Berkshire Community College. Special thanks to my co-host, Adam Klepetar, for getting podcast t-shirts made and for handing them out to every guest on the show. Special thanks to Matthew Kenny and Lori Moon for taking the time out of their incredibly busy schedules to join us for this show. Special thanks to Alzi Mercado, and as always, to Dave Cachet at PCTV for helping make this little engine run. And finally, thanks to you, dear listener, for being like a full-on Monet. From far away, this podcast looks pretty good, and up close, it's even better. And for doing your part to make this podcast happen. My name is Jonah Sykes, and you're listening to This Podcast Could Have Been an Email from Berkshire Community College.